Lord started dealing with me all this week about this lesson, and it probably should be about a 3-month lesson, but I'm going to try to summarize it this morning, okay? And I think it's the most misunderstood by Christians. Sometimes they say, why didn't God do something? Why did he let this happen? Don't he care? And they forget that he cared so much he sent his only son to die. So maybe there's a spiritual things that we don't understand. Amen. So I started researching years ago, and I said, Father, you have the power to wipe this earth clean, but you let the devil run around killing, destroying, stealing, and everything. And your love, so something don't match. He said, let me show you. So he took me to Genesis, and he showed me that he gave man dominion. And when you understand God gave man dominion on this earth to make decisions, what's going to happen? Now, God has not given up his right as creator. And one day, he will take the righteous from the earth, and then he'll come and there will be a white throne judgment, and then he'll burn this planet up. Now, the planet itself won't be consumed. It will still be here, but everything on the planet will be consumed by fire. Now, so I say all that to say, see, he gave that dominion to man, and God, it's impossible for him to lie. So for him to take that back, he would be a liar. So he's not going to break man's dominion. He's not going to do it. And so it's time to take us out of here. Amen. God always saves the righteous. You go back in the history of the Bible, Noah, and you go back, Israel, he takes them out. He always saves the righteous. Then I won't point out where I'm at today. It's that he deals with people based on legal rights, spiritual legal rights. We have the idea in Christianity, he does what he wants. He does not do what he wants. If he did, he would grab us and say, wake up! No, he gently preached the gospel until you chose Jesus. You had to choose Jesus. He didn't make you get saved. You had to come to a point where you felt like, it is hopeless in life. And he said, it's not hopeless. You choose Jesus and live with me forever, and I'll be your God and your Father. Amen? See, he knows you have dominion of your life. And I said, well, it sure don't feel like it. He said, hey, you made some bad choices. But he said, guess what? I can fix them if you'll come to me and ask me. I said, okay, that's the deal. My point is, as I began to study, one of the first things he showed me, I want a covenant with my people. So when I'm connected to that, through covenant, he has legal rights. So he can take and hit the devil, knock him out, stomp on him while I'm kidding. But he can move back spiritually, move things back out of your life, like sickness, like death. And so that's why when I chose Jesus, I became in covenant relationship with him, and then I became a new creation, born again. And now I'm a child of God. But what happened first was I chose Jesus. When I confessed Jesus as Lord, I became a covenant partner with God. Okay? Now, then after that, everything happens after that. See, and so if I push God and I say, will you heal me? John, I purchased your healing by stripes on the back of the Lamb of God, and by him being beaten by the Roman government. So it is bought, it is yours, and you have dominion right to receive that healing, but I will not force it on you because you have dominion over your life. So it's not me, I'm not waiting on God. God is waiting on me. And that's where Christians have missed it. And when we understand, see, if Elizabeth wants to go eat, she says, John, I'd like to go out and eat. And she might even say, and I would like to go to Chili's or Applebee's or Theo's or whatever. And she has right to. Why? She's in covenant with me. At the same time, I say, oh, honey, let's go to Walmart. She says, okay. You know what? Because I'm in covenant with her. I don't say, oh, God, please, please, please go with me to Walmart. I don't do that. Because we're in covenant together. I have right to request of her. And she has right to request of me. Now, I say that in simple form, and we know those emotions tied to it and everything. But God, there's no emotion to it. It's whether, is it legal or not? I'm talking about spiritual legal. And because you're in covenant with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Now that covenant is so powerful because it was ratified or activated by the blood of the Lamb of God. So that's how powerful that new covenant is, because the Lamb's blood, Jesus' blood, was shed and poured out on the mercy seat in heaven to sanctify and ratify and activate that new covenant. Okay, now, knowing all that, let's go see if we can go through some of this. I didn't get you, please.
Hebrews 10. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do your will, O God.
Let's stop there. Now you see that? It's saying, in the volume of the book written of me. That means in the scribes and the things that God gave to Moses to write down, it was written in the, we call it Bible. In this term here, there's in the volume of the book. The scrolls, could you explain that a little bit? Because I don't have it right now. You know, Israel has all the books, right? Okay.
Right. That God would give it, and it says in the Bible that the Spirit of God moved on holy men to write down what God told them. Well, they didn't have printing presses and ink and pens like we do. And so they just used what they had. And usually it was some kind of papyrus, and then they would roll it up into a scroll. Y'all probably know more about this than I do. They'd use a quill and dip it in the ink well and write on there. And those were kept. And then they were at some point copied. So there wasn't just one copy, but eventually there were many copies of the book. But what the scripture says is, in what was written by the prophets, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's what Moses wrote. And then there's Joshua, Judges. Then there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah. In those books, it's written about Jesus, that he was coming to do God's will.
Amen. Thank you. To do your
will. So verse 8, previously saying, now this is a quote from the Old Testament, sacrifice and offering, burn offerings and offerings for sin, you, God, did not desire nor had pleasure in them. And those are offered according to Moses' law. Shall we go ahead?
Yes.
Whoops, wrong way. Then God said, behold, or Jesus said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, the Mosaic law, that he may establish the second.
Amen. See, the point, Jesus came to take away the first covenant, the Mosaic law, or that first covenant, the old covenant in the Old Testament. Amen. And the older Bibles didn't say New Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. It said New Covenant and New Old Covenant. Matter of fact, I have a Bible that's written that way. In your Bible right now, if you, the first page of that, the Old Testament, New Testament, should say section, right? Well, the first Old Testament, it had the page, it had the Old Covenant, and it had New Covenant, it didn't have Testament. Amen. So I want to point out that Old Testament, it was written about Jesus coming. Then he came, and the purpose of him coming was not only to take away sin, but to establish a new covenant. See, under the old covenant, it says, "You do this, and I'll do that. You do this, and I'll do that." So the old covenant was do's and don'ts. But the new covenant, Jesus came and established it. The established with God the Father, Jesus never failed. Under the old covenant, the priest died. Amen. And people failed. And the priest failed continually. But see, that's because it was do and do and do. You do this, I'll do that. But under the new covenant, Jesus has already done it. Amen. And the covenant is between God the Father and Jesus. So we come along and we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we are now in Jesus, and Jesus is the covenant keeper. And we enjoy his perfection, and we live in his perfection. Even though we're not perfected, we take the blessing that Jesus is perfected. Amen? It's good. And Jesus is holy, so we're holy. Not because of our works, but because of him. Amen? So we're in a new covenant. So he came to what? Establish a second covenant, is my point. And let's see how he established it. Verse 10.
By that will, going back, I come to do your will. By that will, we have been sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
See that? When Jesus sacrificed his body and he died, was buried, that was once. It will never be done again. So you do not have to sacrifice yourself. Amen? Because he already did a sacrifice. What we sacrifice is wanting our way. Selfishness, right? We sacrifice that for him because we now don't live our life for ourselves. We live our lives to glorify him. Amen? So we have to sacrifice. Sometimes we're asked to do things that we don't want to do. Amen? And sometimes I believe today in America, a lot of Christians have lost that, because the whole American society has been on, it feels good, do it. Well, sometimes we get up on Sunday morning, we don't feel like going to church, but we do it anyways, right? Okay, sometimes God tells us, "I want you to give some money." Well, I don't want to give money, that's the last money I have. We may not feel like it, but we do it to obey him, right? Amen. So, why? Because we're in the second covenant, honey, and let's finish reading that.
And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool.
See that? So when Jesus went through the day, he was beaten and crucified and rejected and hung on the cross and he died and went to the earth, that sacrifice took care of sin and death forever. It took whatever the offense between mankind and God was there. He took away the offense. He took it away forever. Everything was recorded in heaven. He took the handwriting away. It don't exist forever. So you and I don't have to do works to gain the right to access God Almighty, the Heavenly Father. Praise God. It's done forever. So how long is that covenant established?
Forever.
That covenant will be there forever. Amen. And of course, we read this, that it is God the Father's will that we understand that new covenant, because we're going to be living by that covenant forever. So it would be smart on our part to understand how God operates in that covenant. Amen. So, any comment on? None. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, I love that. So that means to me, even though I do something stupid and I sin today, I have the right to leave that spot and come right over here and say, Father, I repent. Please forgive me. I confess my sins, and you are faithful to forgive me. Why? Because the sacrifice has been made forever. And he grants it. Now, I also ask him, cleanse me of that, Father. Cleanse me of that unrighteousness in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You have anything to say?
Well, it's like if you're going to a baseball game and you go in the door of the players, not the regular admission, and the guard stops you and says, you can't come in this door. But you're walking in there with Rugnet Odor, and you say, I'm with him. Well, it's better than that. We're with Jesus. I don't deserve, I don't earn, but I'm with Jesus. And so it's all mine because of his sacrifice.
Mm-mm. And beautiful. And beautiful. Now, look here. What is Jesus doing right now? He said in the heaven at the right hand of the Father. Look what it said. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. So he's sitting there, right? Look what he's doing. From that time, waiting till his enemies what? Are put under his feet.
Thank you, Lord.
And the New Testament says he's waiting till death is the last obstacle. So when we're raptured out of here, earth better get ready because things are changing. Because you're going to be his footstool. Amen. But we get to walk what? We're joint heirs. So we're walking right with him. Yeah. With him. Oh, it's like I'm with him, not like I'm behind him. I'm with him. Okay. So y'all see what privilege we have being Christians, being the family of God. We have been given something so precious that it can't be compared to, yet it's ours. It belongs to us. It's a gift from Heavenly Father. It's a gift. We can't earn it. And some people, I see so many people, you try to give them something, it's like, you belittle them if you try to give them a gift. I can pay for it myself. I want to give you a gift that has nothing to do with your ability. Right? But in this case, I didn't have the ability to do it. And so sometimes that I brought that up because sometimes people have trouble receiving things from God, and they won't do it. Well, I got saved. That's what I'm going to do now. I'll do the rest of it myself. Why be so foolish? Take some weight off your shoulders. Take some weight off your decisions and let him do some things. Amen? Praise God. Let's go forward. Please.
For by one offering, Jesus has perfected forever those who are being sanctified or set apart. But
so again, pointing out, we're not of the world, right? That's what the word sanctified means. God separated us from the world. He deals with us one way and deals with the world another way. So we call it unbelievers and believers. But that's not wrong, but there's a stronger way to say that. It's covenant people and people who don't have a covenant. Amen? We have a covenant with God. So I have a right to come to the throne of God boldly. Why? Because the blood of Jesus ratified legal rights for me to come and ask the Father in his name. Now, the reason I have to ask in his name is because the covenant is between God the Father and God the Son, Jesus. So Jehovah's on one side of that covenant, and the Lamb of God is on the other side of it, or Jesus. Amen? So the covenant, I have to use his name to ratify that covenant. So I have the right to use his name and say, is there a promise of healing in that covenant? Yes. So I can ask to be healed in Jesus' name, and I have legal right to ask. Now, because God the Father has already said yes and amen to every promise, it's waiting for you to ask by that name. Because that name is a legal right to access the power to heal, deliver, and protect you. Amen? And there's nothing on this earth stronger than God's power. There's no disease that's strong. No body function or failure in your body that the power of God can fix. What it will not do is overcome your choice. You have the right to choose life and death. You have the right to choose blessing and what? Curse. The default is curse. The default is death. But you have chosen Jesus, so that choice is over. But the choice of choosing blessing is a daily choice. Amen? I have to choose the blessing of a promise of God and believe it and receive it. And then that has opened the door for that power of God to manifest that promise, as God said. But you are the one that has to choose. It is your choice. It's not God's choice. His choice was to offer all the promises, and it's your choice to choose a promise. You can shout anytime. Okay. You want to say something right there? No? Well, let's go for that.
Now, the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us.
Who's the Holy Spirit witnessing?
To me.
So right now, the Holy Spirit is witnessing to you. I'm saying word, but he's witnessing, taking that word and witnessing inside of you and bringing thoughts to your mind, bringing thoughts to your spirit. Amen? And he's trying to make you take the next step in glory and believe God. Amen? You know, somebody said, why would God let this happen? I said, it's not God's fault. God gave that dominion to Adam and Eve, and they chose to blow it. So quit blaming God. They get, is that Bible or not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible's right.
Mm-hmm.
But Elizabeth said, you're just legal, dog. You're just legal. I said, I'm sorry. This spiritual things is about legal. I get emotionally, I cry and weep, and I just so wimpy with God, but it's still, I understand I've got to take legal action of believing by faith.
Amen.
A promise of God.
Amen.
I don't, God can sit right here and pat me on the back, but he can't change. I have to receive the promise of God by faith. Remember, faith is believing a promise and speaking the promise. That's mm-hmm. what faith is. Okay, now, go ahead.
For after he had said before, now this is a quote from the Old Testament. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.
Now, see, under the old covenant, the priest only one had access to the word of God. And the priest is the one that ministered to the people. But in the new covenant, he writes it on your personal heart.
Amen.
Amen. It bothered me so much. So for a while, it just... And I did not know how to explain it for years. But see, if you don't understand that God's in covenant with you, you won't allow him to write his word on your heart. See, yes, I got his word on this piece of paper, but this does not give me power. It has to be on my heart. And when it's there, the power that's in God's word then is transferred to my spirit, and that power comes out my mouth, and rivers of living water flow from my heart, of my spirit. Amen? Oh, so that's what God did. Jesus died so he could write his word on your heart and mind. So if it's that important to God, it must be mean a lot to us to have that. Amen. Say it differently, please, honey. Amen. I feel like I'm saying it not.
Well, it's so wonderful. It's not just on paper. God wants to write in your heart. What does that mean? That means when you tell a lie and you have a little funny feeling like, maybe I shouldn't have said that. That's God. That's the covenant he's written on inside of you. That it's not good for you to lie. It'll hurt you if you lie. And so you're feeling that, ugh. Or if you do something else, if you think or you say, speak judgment on somebody else, you know, you've had that feeling like, was I supposed to say that? That's God has written his word on your heart and your mind to help you live a good life. If you go around judging everybody, you won't live a good life because you'll reap what you sow. So he doesn't want you to reap what you sow. He wants you, or in that case, he doesn't want you to reap the bad that you sow. So he's written on your heart. He's written on your mind. What you're doing is not right. What you're doing won't give you a good life. Instead of reading it in a book, putting it on the cabinet and never looking again so it doesn't bother your conscience. Now he's written it on your heart.
Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? So that was so important. That's part of the sacrifice. When Jesus sacrificed himself, God then bought the right, or purchased the right, to write on your heart and your mind his word. Amen. So what does your mind do? It's your, Elizabeth pointed out, it's your conscience, right? Conscience. And also, it means that help you think right. Remember that one of the things God said about mankind, you do not think my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. See, ways are made of decisions, right? ways are made of decisions. So unless you have the truth, you cannot, what, make the right decisions. And if you're not making the right decisions, you won't go the right ways. So God saw that issue, thoughts and ways. He saw that by putting His word in your heart, in your very essence of the man, and giving you the truth into your mind so you think right, right? So we're here this morning, and God's word is what? Hearing. We're hearing His word. We're seeing His word. It's going, we allow it to go down our heart, and it will help us live our lives correctly. Amen. And one of the big things I've heard a lot in the last couple of weeks, it makes you think morally right. Or helps you. Amen. Go for the hun.
Then God adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah.
Can God lie? It's impossible for Him to lie. Does He remember your sins?
No.
Does He remember your sins?
No.
We've been taught for years He does, but the Bible says He does not. And then when I thought about it, did the blood take away my sins or not? Did the blood lose its power? So now it kind of, the sin became stronger than the blood of Jesus, and now it's back. My sins are back. God didn't see them. No, the blood was powerful. It took away all the sin. Amen? And took it away forever. So we have to allow God to remove that sin consciousness out of our minds. How do you do that? With His word.
Amen.
The truth sets you free from that incorrect thinking. Amen?
Yeah.
Woo! I'm excited. I got the Father God to help me. Go ahead, then.
Verse 18. Now, where there's remission of these, remission means it's gone. So if the sins are gone, there's no longer an offering for sin, because the sin's gone.
Amen.
That's my version.
A couple of weeks ago, we studied a verse in Colossians. Remember? It said Jesus blotted out our sin that were written down. Right? Remission. He blotted them out forever. They don't exist anymore. If you went to heaven right now, there's no recording of sin. The blood blotted them out. The devil always tries to make Christians think, oh, God's not going to hear your sin. He's not. But you will sow what you reap, but that's not God's fault. You know, if you sow sin, you're going to reap something. If you do it, you do it anyway, that's your choice, right? And you chose what? You chose curse. Amen. Yeah.
Huge subject to dive into, but the point is, God has set some rules. God made laws, rules. There are driving rules that you may or may not know. There are unwritten rules of how to act, how to relate with each other. There are rules of the English language, uses the proper tense and the proper verbs. There are rules. God has rules. He said, if you want to live in my kingdom, I want you. I want you. I want you in my kingdom. But there are rules. And He's so strong about it. He said, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. I promise you I'll forgive you. I promise you I love you. And not just an emotional promise, but a law, a rule. It's a covenant. He made covenant with us. And the main covenant we talked about today, He's covenanted with us to forgive our sins and to live within us and write His laws on our hearts, right? So that all the time, you know, if you're submissive, you can go to the one above you and say, I want to spend $10. Is it okay? I want to spend $100. I want to buy this. I want to choose that. To what? 200. And so I go to the one that's the head of the household sometimes. Sometimes he's already said yes. But anyway, I'm just trying to show about rules. So you can go to God and say, I want to do this or say this or have this. What church do you want me to go to? What life? What in life? Do you want me to marry this person? Do you want me to have children? Do you want me to, what job? I can go to the one who's riding on my heart. He covenanted. He swore he would not fail you. And that's what we're talking about. Pretty big.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. It's called a strong, if you study covenants, it's called a strong covenant because it's sealed by the blood. There are covenants like, I won't go to Walmart and buy you a new dress. See, that I just offered a covenant to her. And she could say, no, not now. Or say, yes, let's go. So, my point is, and that's, either
Macy's.
That.
We'll go to Macy's, okay. Not Walmart.
See, I agree. See what I mean? The covenants are, you can go back and forth. But then there's one like this one is a powerful spiritual covenant that will change you as a person forever. Amen? And that one is ratified by the blood of Jesus, right? Blood of God. The one we just did, that's ratified by our what? Our character. Her words, does she stand behind her words? Do I stand behind my words, right?
Well, we need to be thanking God, don't we? He gave his word. He gave his promise. He gave himself to you and me who didn't deserve it. I'm with him. I'm with him. So I get in. I get it all. Amen. And you do too. Let's stand up and be dismissed. Father, we want to thank you so much for what you've done for us. And thank you for revealing to us, teaching us what you have already done for us and how we can call on the integrity of your character to receive all that you've given us. Lord, bless us this week. Bless us as we go about our daily lives, and any enemy that might try to come, whether it's weather, whether it's an evil person, whether it's an evil situation, anything that would try to hurt us, Lord, stop it before it gets close to us. And we say in the covenant, in the Jesus name, in the blood that ratified the covenant, you will do this for us in Jesus' name. And we receive it with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen.